What happened, Andy?
I guess Zeus farted.
Zeus is farting.
Oh, Andrew's blaming it on Zeus.
When you're a kid, you realize that your parents have sex.
Andrew, what?
One of the things that hit me when I kissed that 50-year-old girl.
Ben, just imagine that a really pretty lady comes into your room, but she drops an oyster down her down her bra, and it slides all the way down her body. You might be a little grossed out by her, wouldn't you?
And then you can see her walk a French fry into the bathroom. You can hear her, like, dip it in the toilet, and then you can hear, like...
She, like, smears it all over
around
the
rim
toilet.
Of the inside the toilet, you know.
I have a friend who went to his ex's house, took the toothbrushes of his ex-spouse, and scrubbed the inside of the toilet with them. What's the proper way to call someone that's retarded? And he was, I want to say it politically correct. He was slow.
Andrew, oh my goodness.
Okay. Aren't all women naturally, like, conning men all the time?
Yes.
Like...
Yes.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, snakes.
It's kind of like when I tell my nephew stories. When I get sick of telling the story, it doesn't matter where I am at in the story. I just say the end. What am I going to do? Get rid of my dog so I can have sex?
People have done more for sex.
Riding his horse through the whole movie, and I had a crush on her. Because I thought he was a girl.
So how did you feel when you figured it out?
I feel ashamed.
Wait, so you went on a date this week with a girl that's married?
No, she's getting divorced now.
So she go figure.
She is married.
Go figure.
Welcome to TWIM with Seth, Andy, and Ben. We're brothers and a cousin who discuss all the movies in wide release from last week, this week, and next week. We won't spoil any of these movies without first giving you a warning. Let's start with last week. New to the box office top 10 was Gorgeous. Ugly Dolls, coming in at number 4. Short and stubby, nubby teeth out on full display. Your pinkish red, got this thing on your head, and whoa. Girl, you couldn't look better, cause there's a square. I just played a clip from the trailer for Ugly Dolls. It's 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're not familiar with the movie at all, it's an animated movie with Kelly Clarkson voices these characters. They're supposedly ugly, but they look pretty cute. And it's a kid movie, and it's not getting very good reviews, so might be worth skipping.
You know what's interesting is I liked the preview. To me, it looks like it'll be fun, but apparently it's like the preview is rubbing people the wrong way. Because in my office, some people were talking about it. They said, oh, I do not want to see that movie. So I was just kind of surprised by that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Did they say why?
No. And maybe it's because it's like targeted towards kids. I just thought that was interesting because, I don't know, it looked fun to me.
And that is Ugly Dolls. Next to join the top 10 box office from last weekend is Long Shot.
Oh, my God.
Do you think that'll, like, go viral?
This is the news!
On your mark, get set, go,
we found a lot of interesting stuff when we hacked into his webcam.
Don't open it! Don't open it! No comments at this time! Thank you! Thank you! What's going on with you,
brah? Did you just call me
brah? Oh!
Oh, God.
Nobody's on it. My mother found it on Facebook.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Long Shot. It's 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. It came in at number 3 in the top 10 box office. We did a deep dive spoiler review of this last week, in last week's episode. I enjoyed it quite a bit. In fact, I feel like it's a really good comedy. I mean, I laughed straight through the whole thing.
Yeah, I did too.
My mind just split up. What movie are we talking about?
Andy was tuned out. Okay. So that's Andy's
texting?
Review.
No.
That's Andy's review. He was Snapchatting, not texting.
I was just sitting, look at my hands. Sitting like this.
Andy, I don't recall. I think Long Shot's a really good date movie because it's funny and you're going to be laughing the whole time.
Really good. Maybe a little too crude though.
Yeah.
Like the person that goes to it has to have a little bit of raunchy in them.
Yeah.
Or they may not like it.
Or just not take themselves too seriously or.
Right.
Or.
Well, you know what you're getting into with Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pure Seth Rogen. Peak Seth Rogen. Long Shot was a rom-com with Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen. She's like Secretary of State and he's a journalist and they end up getting together.
It's basically a babe with a dork.
Yeah. 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 Or it's Pretty Woman
Lots
in Reverse.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like Breakthrough.
Yeah.
Seth, you made a good point. I believe that Long Shot is probably Seth Rogen's best movie.
But did you see Knocked Up, Ben?
Yeah.
I thought that one was excellent. I remember at the time thinking it was one of the best I'd seen.
Oh.
What came out right before Knocked Up where Seth Rogen was kind of a minor character? I can't remember what it was.
Was
was it
40
Year Old Virgin? Maybe it was 40 Year Old Virgin. Was it? Can't remember what it was.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he was in 40 Year Old Virgin. And he had kind of like
a memorable but minor part in that movie. And then Judd Apatow, who directed both movies, snagged him for Knocked Up. And that's when he became kind of mainstream.
Yeah, that's probably kind of a breakout.
So, and that is Longshot. We all liked it. I loved it.
I still think the only thing I'll say about that is that I'm still not sure about if I like the idea of humor being done we talked about it last week, but just the idea of humor being the lowest common denominator of like
raunchy.
Raunchy, yeah. And we beat that like a live horse. Like,
yeah. Okay, and that is Longshot, came in at number 3. The next movie to enter the top 10 last weekend is The Intruder.
You just bought the Peckups, right?
Yeah.
Charlie's quite a guy.
Just don't look too close under the mask.
His wife died in that house.
Mrs. Charlie took Mr. Charlie's shotgun in her mouth. At least that's how Charlie explained it.
Hey, stop drilling holes in my house!
The man acts like the house still belongs to him.
And he's lonely.
I just played a clip from the Intruder. It's 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. It came in at number 2 in the top 10 box office last weekend. It beat out Longshot, which was actually kind of an upset because Longshot was supposed to do better. And Longshot was actually a better movie, frankly.
I liked Intruder better.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So Intruder is a story of Dennis Quaid being like a horror villain. And it was really fun.
We saw the trailer today for A Dog's Journey or something. Yeah, and he was in it. And I kept thinking he was going to like squeeze the dog's neck and kill it or something.
I know he's mentally insane.
It was so funny to see Dennis Quaid in The Intruder as this super creepy person. Then, Andy said, the preview for A Dog's Way Home. He's just this old happy guy.
Yeah, you mean A Dog's Journey.
Oh,
A Dog's Way Home is that dumb movie we had to see 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, it's a totally different movie about dogs.
A Dog's Journey, we'll talk about it when we get to it, but I have a feeling that it might be better than A Dog's Way Home. Okay, well, and that is hard. Anything left to say on The Intruder?
I enjoyed it more than Longshot. I did enjoy Longshot, but I just really enjoyed watching the presentation performance of Dennis Quaid as his acting was so interesting.
Yeah, he did not get enough credit for that.
No kidding. Yeah, I mean, his performance alone was worth the ticket price, and pretty much that's all you get for the ticket price. There's not much else to the movie, but his performance was excellent.
Yeah.
And that is The Intruder. That's it for the box office top 10. Last weekend, Avengers Endgame stayed at top of the box office, making $147 million domestically. It's still at number 1 in its second week out, and it's still earning more than the rest of the top 10 combined. We'll see if that keeps up. There's some projections that Pokemon is going to beat out Avengers Endgame this week.
I think it will.
You do? I don't think it will, but we'll see. Okay, so that is last week. Moving on to this week, there's 4 new movies out in wide release, starting with Tolkien.
Since childhood, I have been fascinated with language. I've invented my own.
You invented an entire language?
Yes. I made stories. Legends.
Tell me a story. In any language you want.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Tolkien. This is 47% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I saw about half of it last night.
Okay, and then, so it must not be very good if you didn't stay for the whole movie.
I told you. Halfway through, I just thought, I'm tired, this is boring, I'm going to bed.
Can you summarize, like, what is the premise?
Well, it appears to be the life story of J.R.R. What happened, Andy?
I guess Zeus farted.
Zeus is farting.
Oh, Andrew's blaming it on Zeus.
No, it was Zeus's birthday, so I gave him some cookies.
And that makes him fart?
I'm guessing it does. Go ahead, Ben.
So Tolkien, I believe, is the life story of J.R.R. Tolkien, who is the author of Lord of the Rings and other things.
And The Hobbit.
Yeah, and that whole thing. So it starts out as him as a little kid, spends a lot of time when he's like in high school, early 20s age.
So it's a biopic.
Yeah. I'm not sure how close to reality it says. It didn't start out with based on actual events or anything. I went into it thinking it was probably based on his life and they just added their own flair when they felt like it. I think it probably was accurate because it was kind of boring. But if you see, you guys have seen Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
It seemed like when they made this movie, they were trying to show the audience how he was inspired to make Lord of the Rings. Because it showed all these clips when he was a child and growing up. And even he was in world, he was in the war, right? I think World War One.
In World War One?
Yeah. Because there were some clips from, it looked like trench warfare from World War One. And there's a, like, for example, there's a part where he's, the Germans have this mustard gas coming over and he's like laying down in the trench and you can see the, this green gas coming over the trenches and everyone's holding their breath. And the way they did the cinematography made it look like it could be a scene out of Lord of the Rings. There's a part where he's looking over the trenches and it's really foggy. And during that war, the German soldiers, there was a part where they debuted these flamethrowers. And so you see these big, it shows like this dragon come up out of the fog and it shoots this big flame out of its mouth.
Okay, so that was
and
the
then
inspiration
as it gets closer,
for Smaug.
It was actually the German soldiers with the flamethrowers. So there were a lot of like callbacks, or I guess it's callback to like Lord of the Rings and things, how he was inspired to, about elements from it. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, beautifully done visually. Like he's got a group of friends like, okay, let's make a club. We should be like, what should we call ourselves as a group? The collection of men. No, a group of men. And you know, in the Lord of the Rings, that's the Fellowship of the Ring. And he's like always talking about new languages and he made up languages. So it was, of course, that was his life, but it felt heavily targeted to his influences to making writing the Lord of the Ring books.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Sounds pretty interesting. So that is Tolkien. The next movie out this weekend in wide release is Palms.
We want to start a cheerleading club.
Who will you be cheering for?
Ourselves. Show us what you've got.
The oldest category is 18 plus.
We're 18 plus. 18 plus 50.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Palms. This is 31% on Rotten Tomatoes. Who's the lead in this? Susan Sarandon? Is that her? Or is it
Diane Keaton?
Diane Keaton. Sorry, I don't know why I get those two confused. Diane Keaton goes to a retirement home, decides to start a cheerleading club. That's the premise.
Didn't our grandma do that too?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think
so. It's an epidemic.
None of us have seen this, right?
No, I didn't see it.
I wonder if it's kind of like when you're a kid and you hear about your parents, that you realize that your parents have sex.
Andrew, what?
No, I want to hear where he's going with this, Ben. Let him flesh out his thought.
I mean, when you see these old people like dancing around like that, you kind of feel like revulsion, you know? Like,
yeah.
Not revulsion. That's a little strong, but it's just not
like in this preview, that's how you felt?
Well, revulsion's the wrong word. You just kind of, it's not like watching like, I don't know, like the Dallas Cowboys dancers, you know? And that's what we usually associate dancers with.
Yeah, it's definitely not sexy.
But that what I like about the idea of it is that it really pushes your ideas of what is accepted and like, but I just couldn't get myself to want to watch it. Yeah. And that was one of the things that hit me when I kissed that 50-year-old girl and I was 40. I would have never thought a 50-year-old was attractive like when I was 20.
That's what, yeah, didn't I ask you that last week? Right. Like if you were 18, would you ever look at a 50-year-old and be
no,
like,
no, I'd be like, gross. Like I would have thought, oh, she's pretty maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Some moms are hot, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like a Mrs. Robinson type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys ever see the Graduate, by the way?
Mrs. Robinson. No, I'm familiar with the story and the actors, but I've actually never seen it.
Yeah, all I know is that every time I listen to Simon and Garfunkel and that song's on, my mom's right. Like, I don't want to hear this song. It's right. Just about adultery.
Okay, well that's Palms.
I want to see it. I know Andy doesn't. The preview to me looks really funny. I want to see it.
I mean, it looks like it's hitting a specific geographic of audience. To me, like the baby boomers.
Well, right. Because there was a preview for, there was a kids movie that came out. And this is, I guess, targeted at senior citizens.
Yeah, that's right. There's got to be something for everybody. Because if, you know, if Pokemon, like grandma's got to see, she's not going to see Pokemon. She's got to have something to go see.
I'm excited to talk about Pokemon.
Okay. You'll have to wait a little bit. So that is Palms. The next movie out this week is The Hustle.
I'll just get a glass of water, please. I have to save all my money because I'm here to find my sister. She's been taken.
Taken? Like?
Like by men who sell hot white virgins to cajillionaires on yachts.
I am very moved by your story. Order anything you like.
I'll have a club sandwich and an order of fries. Two slices of cake. Do you want any cake?
No.
Three slices of cake and a Diet Coke.
Impressive.
I'm a con artist.
Sisters in arms.
I just played a clip from the trailer for The Hustle. It's 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is essentially a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels from about 40 years ago with Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson. And we've all seen it, right?
Yeah.
I did not see it. I was going to see it today, but then I started getting texts from you guys saying it wasn't what you'd hoped.
I know. It was a letdown.
Yeah, I agree, Ben. I was really let down. I thought that... So, like, when I go to a comedy, I will forgive literally anything if it's funny. Like, if it makes me laugh, I will forgive, like, the biggest plot holes. I'll forgive anything.
Yeah, like, but, Sherlock?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, number one problem with this movie, it didn't really make me laugh. Rebel Wilson was kind of amusing in some parts, but it just wasn't landing for me. The jokes were not landing. I thought the chemistry with the main, like, I don't know what you want to call them, love interest in the love triangle or the target they chose. I thought the chemistry was not there at all. It was totally forced. Rebel Wilson and Anne Hathaway had okay chemistry. It was kind of interesting to see those two together because they seem like polar opposites in style. But still, it was feeling very forced to me. Anne Hathaway's accent, both her English accent and her German accent, didn't quite feel natural to me. It became a little bit grating. I think she performed pretty good in the movie, but the accent was just getting a little distracting for me.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think, Ben?
Oh, I agree with everything you said. It felt like to me that everything was resting on Rebel Wilson. Like
everything you said is exactly what I think.
Really? Like, no. Everything was resting on her to carry the entire movie. And, like, she was funny, but you're right. Like, she would do great stuff, but it didn't totally land. It's kind of like they rushed the production. They just took the first take. They're like, okay, let's go on. Because the editing was a little choppy, a little sloppy.
Yeah, it didn't flow very well.
Yeah, and did you guys realize, so this is a remake from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, came out in 88, which was a remake from a movie called Bedtime Story, 1964.
Okay.
Did you guys ever
see
that?
No, I didn't know that Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was a remake of anything. Because this was clearly a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes.
Almost shot for shot. There were a lot of scenes you're like, okay, I remember this scene.
Well, not quite that close, but it was a remake. I mean, it followed the same plot.
It hit every beat, though. Like, there's a corollary for every, like, major story beat.
Yeah, so Bedtime Story, it featured Marlon Brando.
Oh, okay. And he was a con artist?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and don't watch it. It's crap. You can get it on YouTube, but I wanted to see it because I love Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. So the 88 version with Steve Martin was much better, and they added a twist at the end. And so this, you know, The Hustle, it's really too bad. This should have been a really funny movie.
Yeah, it could have. It just with a little bit more effort, it seems like it could have been solid, but it just didn't get there.
Yeah, and it's Rebel Wilson, she could have carried it, but I just feel like she was, yeah, the jokes weren't quite landing. And you know what really, I was so annoyed. The trailer, it misrepresented a scene.
Yeah.
And it had a scene in the trailer that wasn't even in the movie.
Sisters in Arms?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that too.
That bothered me. And then there's a part where Rebel Wilson comes in. She's in the trailer. She's blind. She comes up to the roulette table. Yeah. That scene wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, that scene was, but there's a part where she's like, sir, scoot over, sir. And she's like, you know, she's pretending to be blind. So she's like feeling over where Anne Hathaway is. But she's like, puts her hands on her boobs like, sir, sir. And
that
Anne
might
Hathaway
have been,
swats her away. So that
might have been clipped, but that definitely was in the movie. She definitely grabbed her breast in the movie.
But it wasn't the same that was in the trailer. Because Anne Hathaway kind of like different. Flaps her arms at her.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. So maybe it was a different take. I'm starting to notice that's very common between trailers and the movies.
Yeah, that's okay. But those were really memorable scenes. And they conveyed this emotion that the actual scene didn't quite have.
So on that note, I actually feel like I didn't like it. Feel like it had any heart. I didn't really care what happened. There wasn't really any character development going on. It just felt kind of hollow.
Yeah,
they could have they tried to make a romance with Rebel Wilson and their target guy, but I don't know. It just didn't. Definitely, they didn't seem to have. In fact, Anne Hathaway seemed to have a little more chemistry with. Like when she was trying to seduce him, I was like falling for it. I'm like, wow. Even though,
who could resist that?
There's a scene where
what guy in the world was going to resist that? Like he's
what
single.
Was she doing?
Yeah, but Ben, just imagine that a really pretty lady comes into your room, but she drops an oyster down her dress, like down her bra, and it slides all the way down her body. You might be a little grossed out by that, by her, wouldn't you?
Okay, if he got grossed out, that could explain it.
Well, they do say later that he made her take a shower, which I thought was pretty funny, because I was like, yeah, that's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, take a shower, you smell like oysters.
Well, that's what happened in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, I didn't remember that scene. Oh, I have a question for you, Ben. There was a lot of reference to Medusa, which is supposedly this like legendary con woman who just by looking at a man, she can freeze their assets. Was that Lady McFanny or whatever her name is from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
They didn't reveal who that is. I thought it was going to be the main con woman from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I thought she was going to show up at the end, but she didn't.
Because he kept referencing his grandma, right? Who was a con artist.
Yeah, it didn't... You know what?
You didn't think that she was from the first...
Maybe.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe and I looked online.
I missed it, if that's what they were referencing. Because they were following the beats of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah.
Most of it. But it was in a way where it's almost like somebody watched the movie and then told an intern what the scene was. Say, okay, make the scene like this. Like it was missing its heart. You know, it just didn't, like the funny scenes just did not land. And they had the best opportunity. Andy, you were talking about last week when they're sitting at the dinner table in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. He says, excuse me, may I go to the bathroom? And they say, yes, you may. And he just kind of sits there and he's like, makes a weird face at him. And after like 30 seconds, like, thank you.
Thank you.
So then you realize he does, you know, peed his pants.
Yeah.
There was a similar scene in this and they missed it.
Well, no, what I felt like they're doing, Ben, is they're saying, okay, here's a memorable joke from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Let's do a joke here, but let's not be so lazy. We're going to do the same joke. Let's do a new joke. Because she did have a joke. Remember she had her, what is it called? A chastity belt or something?
Yeah.
And that she's like, can I go to the bathroom? Okay, help me with my... And then there was another scene where...
But like the joke wasn't... I don't know.
Okay, it wasn't as funny. Joke. Yeah, it wasn't as funny. I agree with you there. But I do... They were trying to follow the same formula. And in the scene in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels when he's pretending to be paralyzed, I think, and then his partner guy's like whipping his legs and making him cry. They did kind of a corollary scene, but in this one she was pretending to be blind. And so Anne Hathaway would get a French fry and like wipe it all over the toilet.
She's like, if you can't see,
make her eat it.
I'm just gonna feed you some food. And then you can see her walk a French fry into the bathroom. You can hear like dip it in the toilet. And then you can hear like,
she like smears it all over
around the rim
toilet.
Of the inside the toilet. You know, it's just by the sound of it, like it sounded horrible. And you hear the water splashing and Rebel Wilson can actually see it, but she has to pretend to be blind.
She has to pretend she can't see it.
And so she comes back and like, open up your mouth. Here it comes. And she puts it in. Oh, that was gross.
And Rebel Wilson is like, yum. Can I have another one?
If I ever have an ex-wife or husband, I will never trust them to go to my house without me there.
I know what story you're talking about.
I have a friend who went to their house, his ex's house, took the toothbrushes of his ex-spouse and scrubbed the inside of the toilet with him.
Yeah, I know that story. And they got really sick.
Oh, really? Do you know who it is, Ben?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. Who is it?
Can you tell me your imagination?
The victim and their significant other got very sick for a week or two.
Okay, it was. Yeah, I know who it is. It's our friend.
By blood.
Yeah, okay, and that story, that was messed up.
Yeah,
that is messed up.
Oh, what did you think about, what's his name from Veep? That douchebag politician in Veep?
Oh, at the beginning, Jonah Ryan. Cameo.
Yeah, he had a cameo at the beginning. He was basically the same character. Yeah.
Like, I don't know, scumbag. How would you describe Jonah's character? Like, he's typecast by now. His character in Veep, in his character, the opening of this.
Well, it'll be hard to see him doing a different character.
So self unaware. He's the guy who he says some horrible, insulting phrase. They send him to sensitivity training, and he's such a blockhead. He like insults everybody like unintentionally.
Michael,
remember
Scott?
That part, Seth?
In Veep. Yeah, that was hilarious.
You said the R word. Well, when I said that, I wasn't. Quit being so gay. I don't mean. Gay isn't bad. I mean, retarded gay. Or what did he say? Like he,
yeah, something like that.
It was, oh my goodness.
What's the proper way to call someone that's retarded?
Probably disabled.
But how do you distinguish that their mental age is younger? Or like,
So that word isn't like official description. It's kind of slang and it's just used to like...
Well, it is now. Words change because once you use them long enough, they become offensive. They come up with something new and then the new words becomes offensive.
My favorite word in Portuguese is retard. It's retardado.
Well, Andy, you can just use the word slow because it literally means the same thing as retarded.
Yeah, without all the baggage and without
all the connotation.
What about Down syndrome?
You can say Down syndrome.
If that's what it is. But Andrew, but we're going to have to send you to sensitivity training.
Well, no, because I'm going to talk about it, this same topic in Pokemon, so I'm just prepping.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of, well, anything left, Ben, on the hustle?
No, other than I was disappointed. I had such high hopes.
Me too.
What needs to be said is there was a lot of people complaining before this movie came out saying, oh, another remake. You're just going to put women in there and remake the movie. That's horrible. It's going to be garbage. But this movie was not garbage because it was women. And they talk about the Ghostbusters remake. It wasn't about women. It was poorly done. It's just too bad.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, I actually like the premise. I like the idea of women doing it because...
Yeah,
Thinking through the whole movie, I'm like, aren't all women naturally like conning men all the time?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Yes.
Says a prime victim.
The girl who
just have to look for the red flags and recognize them.
I was like, this is really hitting close to home because I feel like this is constantly what women are doing. They're just conning men.
Well, that's a broad brush, but I believe that your high school dating experience is to learn the red flags that come in relationships.
That's why I'm, have you ever heard of unarrested development?
Unarrested?
Oh, arrested.
Oh no, she said, Rebel Wilson had the funniest quote, agree to unagree. I thought that was so funny. Yeah. Sorry, Andy, I cut you off. Sorry, bud.
I can't even remember what I was saying.
About arrested development.
Yeah. Oh, because Ben was saying your dating life, you need to learn how to date in the red flags of women. And that's probably why I'm still single, because I didn't date in high school.
Yeah, well,
I didn't learn anything.
Dating in high school was a specific time for me to learn red flags from a specific person.
Yeah, I mean.
And that has helped me for the rest of my life since.
Ben, you got some life lessons that I'll never get because I never dated that girl.
Yeah.
Because she was out of my league.
Out of your league.
No, I don't know why. But luckily for me, I never dated somebody that was manipulative and conniving.
And cheating.
Well, not that I know of.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Once I was on my mission, guys, and this lady said, the only way you can trust that a baby is of your blood, that if your child has a baby, the only way you can trust it is if it's your daughter's baby. Because.
Or if you get a DNA test.
Because your son's wife could cheat on him so easily. I was like, whoa, that's interesting.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, there's trust involved. But if your worldview is that you have no trust of anyone, I think it says something about you.
All right. So that's it for The Hustle. The next movie out this weekend, the biggest movie out this weekend, this is projected to take over Avengers Endgame, is Pokemon.
Stop talking. You're a hallucination.
You're a hallucination.
So you're a talking Pikachu with no memories who's addicted to caffeine.
I could stop whenever I want. These are just choices. Another round, extra shot, black as night. Thank you, sweetie.
I just played a clip from Pokemon Detective Pikachu. It's 62% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's projected to be number one, maybe, this weekend. What did you guys think?
I'll say, I kind of wanted to share, I had like zero interest to see this movie, but I do have some key points in my life. When I was 20, about 18 years ago, I was driving my little brother around and he was playing his Game Boy. And all of a sudden, he just yells in the car, "Holy cow, I just found the legendary Pokemon!" And I didn't know what Pokemon was. But I guess what I'm getting at is I have so many memories associated with people that liked Pokemon that it was really fun. And I went and saw it with my nephew and he was just on the front of his chair, just so excited the entire time.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah. My kids, the timing didn't work out for me to take them, but I'm going to go with them this weekend. They would have loved this because they love all the Pokemon. And also the whole I'm not very familiar with Pokemon, but it was very clear through the movie that the kid shows up and they're like, where's your Pokemon? He's like, I don't have one. They're like, what? You don't have a Pokemon? And there was this ongoing theme that, you know, everyone gets them. It's kind of like a pet. They're like your friend. And I know my little girl she's going to go bananas for it because she wants a pet so bad and we won't let her.
Yeah. Didn't you? I loved this world. Like when I was watching, I was like, okay, so every human has a Pokemon. They're like paired with a Pokemon. That is the coolest thing ever. Like every person is walking around with this like little, it's almost like a pet, but yeah. They're like, and, that I feel like CGI has come a long way in the last 15, 20 years. Like I'm glad this movie waited a little bit because this was like CGI porn. All these different Pokemon. It was
done so really well.
Interesting to watch. The visuals were.
You know what? The CGI didn't jump out to me. I didn't even think about that. It just looked real.
It reminded me a lot of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, didn't it to you? Because it's like these live action people and then these animated things. I mean, it worked. It definitely worked. It wasn't like a cartoon next to a person, but it was kind of weird. It was like there's the toons and then the real people. That's kind of how it felt when I was watching the movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're like the juxtaposition. The CGI felt real. I thought it was a fun movie. They did go out of their way to kind of explain Pokemon to the uninitiated, which, you know.
Yeah, it was maybe a good introduction to Pokemon.
How did you feel about Ryan Reynolds' voice as Pikachu?
I did not like it.
Oh, I loved it.
I did not think it matched.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really liked it. You didn't like it, Andy? What did you think, Ben?
Like Andrew, it just didn't fit because the only Pokemon I know are from Smash Brothers. Those characters.
Yeah, those are the only ones I
recognize. And the only thing Pikachu ever says is, Pikachu, you know, really loud or really high.
He doesn't say Pika Pika. That's not like canon because people could only hear him saying Pika Pika. Is that not canon? Or do you know?
That's pretty much the sounds he makes. Yeah, Pika Pika. And like, I think one of his moves, he says Pikachu. At any rate, it's this high pitched thing. And then in this movie, 99.9% of it, you only hear him speaking as Ryan Reynolds' voice.
Low.
And so it didn't feel like Pikachu to me.
Yeah, I have to say.
He was witty and kind of snarky. And
yeah.
I have the same exact connection to Ben with Pikachu. I have a very like emotional connection to Pikachu because a bonding time with all my four brothers is we would play Smash Brothers and I was always Pikachu.
Yeah.
Pikachu's always the cuddly, like one that looks like he can't beat anyone, but then he has these great
electricity
bolts that blow people off the board. But he is really like gentle too. He sleeps when he wins. He lays down and sleeps.
That's so cute.
The voice just didn't fit for me. Maybe that's why. Maybe
I would have,
you didn't.
I think it would have worked better for me if there were more scenes where, because you could hear Ryan Reynolds speaking. So that means we are hearing what the boy is experiencing, like the partner. I wish there were more scenes where you heard Pikachu just going, Pika Pika. I think that would have made more sense to me.
I liked Ryan Reynolds. I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
It was like hearing Deadpool come out of Pikachu.
I think if I knew all the Pokemon, I think I would have appreciated the movie more because they show this, like there's that duck one. They're like, oh, the duck. If the duck gets angry, he'll explode. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know that.
And then there were
Squirtles, and I don't, you know, I think it would have made more sense to see them all around if I knew, you know, what they were and their powers and everything.
Yeah, I learned a lot of, well, first of all, I was right next to my 8-year-old son during the movie, and he's like, oh, that's a Cubone. Oh, that one's a Squirtle. Like he would name, like right when they came on screen, he's like, oh, that's this one.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I got down at least a solid maybe 5 Pokemon. Like I can name them and describe them.
Yeah. I know Mewtwo. I know the ones from Smash.
Oh, okay. They should make a Pokemon only version of Smash, don't you think? Because it seems like, oh, well they actually have. Yeah. They have a Pokemon battle. I think I got on.
Oh, really?
On the Xbox. Yeah. I got for Rocky. So there's the one interesting Pokemon was the one that's a carp, and then it evolves into like this flying dragon. It's like the most powerful one, but it's like helpless in its unevolved state as a carp.
Yeah.
It's a Gyarados. It's like a dragon.
I need someone to explain Pokemon to me because I think they said in the movie every Pokemon has like an evolved state or like a second state. I wondered if that was different from the Dragon Ball thing. Are they in a different universe than Dragon Ball?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I can't explain it to you though, Ben.
My brother adopted a kid from Romania, and he was I want to say it politically correct. He was slow,
Andrew, oh my goodness.
Okay, okay.
Or like, you know,
or
Down right. syndrome. I don't, but I remember when I meant this as a high compliment, and I told my dad this when I found out they were adopting a Down syndrome kid. I said, whoa, well, that's cool. It's like having a dog that can be with you for like 40 or 50 years that won't die. Because I love dogs, like, and my dog is with me everywhere, but it turned 10 today, but it's going to die in a couple of years. But there's something nice about a dog. They say dogs have a personality of about 4 years old, but I just, there was this special connection when I watched Pokemon, but Seth already referred to it. Like sometimes when Zeus, I leave him home, I always look in the back of my car to see where Zeus is, because he's always with me. And it must be like someone when they are married for 7 years and they die, their partner dies and they're looking for him, but then they realize that they're dead or something. But I guess what I'm saying is I love the idea. I didn't think the story was very good.
I agree.
I didn't think the voice was very good, but I think Seth hit on it. The CIG, is that what you call it?
Yeah, CGI.
The CGI was really good, like all the characters.
Yeah, and the color scheme was kind of cool, like dark but neon.
Yeah.
Like the whole world was kind of
well,
like,
you know what's so interesting? The color palette of everything was high contrast. They're in an office building and the only light is coming through the windows.
Yeah, I noticed it was like really dark in there.
It was so weird. Like why does nobody turn the lights on?
Yeah, I feel like that's a new like trend in cinematography, because they're getting like better low light cameras. And so like all TV and movies just seems really dark lately.
Yeah, the palette didn't, it was too dark. And I was thinking that
I liked it. I liked it.
To me, I was just thinking, I'll bet the person who edited this whole thing and set the tones, they have a really good monitor and they don't know what it's going to look like on a normal movie screen. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, I mean, it looked fine. It was just kind of a dark palette with neon. It was kind of a futuristic, almost dystopian. Yeah, kind of a dystopian feel. Like when he goes into the city and there's like these homeless Pokemon laying around. And
yeah.
I don't know. It was just kind of,
I guess from going from a cartoon to the real world, maybe they had to be a little extreme in the real world so it looked real.
But I did think the animation of the Pokemon was excellent. Like every one of them was incredibly interesting to look at.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Did you catch the nod to Home Alone?
Well, it wasn't so much a nod as a clip from that from that movie.
Yeah.
And I guess they used that because they're trying to set it in like this certain genre, like noir or something. But I mean, do you think it was a nod, Ben, or were there any other tie-ins to Home Alone? I didn't see any.
I didn't see any either. I just assumed it was a nod to Home Alone. Andy, do you know what we're talking about? There's that old-timey movie they play in Home Alone. It's like, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, snakes.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you to the count of three. So they, as Pikachu walked in the room, they played that. You know, they made
those
clips.
It was in the dad's apartment.
For Home Alone. That's not a real movie. They just made those clips.
Yeah. I know, this is interesting. Is this the same studio?
It must. I don't know. I want them to make a real movie about those clips. I think it's called like, the name of it just slipped my mind. It's like Angels with Hearts of Gold or something, or Villains with Hearts of Gold. My mom loves telling this story about how I was so scared when we watched Home Alone. Seth, were you on that text last week when mom said that again?
I probably just didn't read it.
She brings up all the time how when I was like 12 or something when Home Alone came out and we went to the theater, it was mom, I think you and me and mom went to the theater, and afterwards she said, I guess during the movie, she looked over, she said, don't worry, Ben, it's okay. And I thought, that was so weird. Why'd she say that? And then after the movie, she said, oh, I looked over, Ben, and you looked so scared. Did that movie scare you? Like, I don't know. But she brings up all the time how scared I was in the movie.
That's funny.
And she brought it up again in a text message, like a family group message last week.
Ben, the name of that movie inside of the movie in Home Alone is called Angels with Filthy Souls.
Oh.
From 1990, which was produced for the Home Alone movie.
Okay. So I'm gonna tweet somebody to make a full length movie out of that.
I'm sure that's just the push they need to do it.
So do you think, wait, your kids saw this?
Yeah.
Did they like it? Like, how did they feel after?
Rocky said he liked it. I was kind of disappointed overall. Like, I felt like the story was kind of a letdown.
It was like lame 80s movie tropes.
It had its moments. I mean, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't like a huge disappointment, but it was, I just wanted more. I was not really impressed with Justice Smith. I haven't seen him in anything else, but he seemed really wooden to me. Like, he didn't really bring much to the table.
Yeah, as an actor. How old is he supposed to be? Because he looks like he's 15, but then he has a job working somewhere. And then so Justice Smith, and then is it Catherine Newton? She plays the reporter. To me, they look like they're 16 years old, but they're acting like, oh, I'm going to get a promotion in my real job. So they're playing someone in their, I don't know, 30s? I don't know. They just look like tiny kids to me.
He's 24 in real life. Justice Smith is. Let me see how old she is.
She's 22, I bet.
Ben, well, I don't know how old Catherine Newton is. Her biography doesn't say. It must be a secret.
They're purposely holding that back. She's been in a lot of stuff.
That's weird that they would hide it. Why would they hide it?
Wikipedia will tell us. She was born in 1997.
Oh, you found it?
Oh.
Okay, so she's 22. So now we know.
I guessed it.
Around 22. Okay, so...
Isn't that when you graduated high school, Andy?
Yeah. So, it's crazy.
Ben, what would you rate this one? It's 62% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I totally agree with that score. I would give it lower, except I think my kids are really going to enjoy it.
Yeah, Rocky really enjoyed it. I feel like... maybe 60%. It was just kind of disappointing. I was hoping for more. I'll really be surprised if this beats out Avengers Endgame. It would have to earn like $70 million or more.
Yeah.
I'd really be surprised. I don't really see it doing that. It didn't have enough.
It could be. I don't think it's a similar movie to Dragon Ball, but it has an audience like Dragon Ball. Like, people love Pokemon. So I think it'll do well just because of that.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you think it was weird to see a fuzzy, like, hairy Pikachu?
I don't know. Isn't he fuzzy? Wouldn't you imagine him with fur?
I never imagined him like that. Did you? Is he a furry animal? I guess he is.
It didn't bother me or pop out to me.
It didn't bother me at all how he looked. Okay, so that's it for Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Now, moving on to movies coming out next week. First is John Wick Chapter 3.
Our services still off limits to me. What do you need? Guns. Lots of guns.
I just played a clip from the trailer for John Wick Chapter 3. This is currently 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's starring Keanu Reeves and who's the girl in it?
Halle Berry?
I can't remember her name. Halle Berry, yeah. Awesome.
I have not seen these, but you guys have been telling me I have to see
this. You have to see them.
Speaking of dogs, it's about, they kill his dog in the first one.
Yeah, that's how the first one starts out. They kill his dog, and he's out for revenge.
Okay, it's basically...
You ruined it, Ben.
It's basically like Taken, but he's out for revenge on his dog.
Exactly. It's Taken, but a dog instead of a daughter or a family.
And the dog can't call him back to say where he's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew, well, I feel like I keep saying this. The premise of the movie sounds really dumb for both part one and part two, but they are completely enjoyable the entire time.
So, would a girl like to watch these?
Doesn't seem like a girl movie.
Yeah.
If you have a date, take her to see A Dog's Journey or The Sun is Also a Star.
I know.
Those are both going to be better date movies.
Or if she's really old, Palms.
So
how old is your date this week?
Okay, so that is John Wick Chapter 3 and some tangents. Okay, next out this week is A Dog's Journey.
Bailey, Bailey, Bailey. You've done so much for me. When you come back the next time, take care of CJ. She needs you like I needed you.
And then it happened. I was a puppy again, and CJ was my new purpose. She was a gigantic baby now.
I just played a clip from the trailer for A Dog's Journey. It's 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is funny to see Dennis Quaid not being like a really scary monster. He's actually a good guy. And I guess when the dog dies, its soul goes into a new dog. And that's why there's the same narrator for each different dog. And so like this particular dog's soul is tasked with protecting this girl, I guess. I didn't watch the first one, but that's what I got from the trailer. So it's like reincarnation of dogs.
Yep. And the dog remembers his owner. Maybe this movie, maybe A Dog's Journey is a prequel to The Intruder. Maybe the dog doesn't ever come back and it drives him mad and then
that's what drives him crazy. Ben, yeah. Okay, and that's A Dog's Journey. The next movie out this week in wide release is The Sun is Also a Star.
My key ingredients to falling in love are friendship,
chemistry.
And the X Factor.
What's the X Factor?
Don't worry, we've got it.
I just played a clip from The Sun Is Also a Star. It's not yet rated on Rotten Tomatoes. It is a romance, it looks like, with a guy and gal that are very easy on the eyes.
Yeah, they're like a power couple.
Yeah, she's very attractive.
I think women would love him because he's Korean.
He's got dimples.
And she's black. She's just beautiful. They're both like the most beautiful people you've seen in a long time, you know?
Is it almost like those Madea movies where it's like super hot actors?
Yeah, except they're not dressed slutty in this. They're just, they're like really attractive people, but they also come across as genuine and real people. The way this preview was done was like, I was really impressed. It was done really well. It's just this beautiful trailer because it starts out, what does America mean to you? So it looks like she's writing a letter or filling out a form for the immigration to stay in the States.
Yeah.
It was just interesting. I just thought the trailer was incredible, and it just looks like a great movie. I'm excited.
I wasn't so fond of the scene where he's singing. I'm not sure why. It seemed like a little too Justin Bieber for me in the trailer. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, I do. I've seen the trailer like 15 times.
So it looks like the main... So if you remember 5 Feet Apart, they're in love, but the thing getting in the way is that if they get together, it'll kill them, you know? So there's just like tension. Romeo and Juliet's the same way. Their families are at war with each other, and so they're members of different families. They can't get together.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty common theme. And in this one, it looks like from the preview that they fall in love, and it looks like they have really good chemistry, but then she's like forced to leave because of immigration reasons. Is that what it looks like to
you? Yeah, that's basically what the preview shows.
And so the main tension in the movie may be figuring out how to like either keep her in New York or keep them together somehow. So that's what it looks like. It looks like it'll be good. I'm interested to see that couple. They look hot.
They look hot.
Okay. Okay. I think that wraps it up, right? This is the end of the spoiler-free section. Thank you for listening to TWIM. The two things that help us most are subscribing to the podcast and rating the podcast on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts. If you want to contact us, you can reach us on Twitter at @TWIM_weekly, or you can email us at thisweekinmoviespodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to get another person's perspective on the movies, so if you
are female,
have an insight of one of these movies,
and
just launch Voice Memos app on your iPhone. If you don't have an iPhone, if you have an Android, then just throw it away and buy an iPhone because you're ruining everybody's text message threads.
Yeah, in our family and then
launch Voice Memos.
There's always one person in the family that won't get an iPhone.
Yeah, in every group message, there's just like 20 people. There's one person you want to kick them out because of that green bubble. Because you can't rename the group. You can't like send like emojis.
And then they respond. It's like, it goes individual. It's weird.
So send us your insights. We'd love to play them on the show. We are now beginning our deep dive discussion portion of the show, which will include spoilers for the following movies, The Hustle and Pokemon. If you don't want to hear spoilers, then stop listening here. But sometimes spoilers make you enjoy it more. And also, that's the best part of the podcast, really. We have the best discussions in the spoiler section. See you next week.
Ciao. I have a dating story. When it's the time, I'll tell it.
You can tell it now.
Well, so you always have to be kind of careful what you say to Latin women because they get freaked out really easily. But once they like you, they'll like they're obsessed with you. But up until that point, you have to be careful. You can scare them off or creep them out really easily.
Why? What did you say to a Latin woman?
Well, I went to the chiropractor because I hurt my back. And there was this very attractive Peruvian girl working at the desk. So I'm trying to restrain myself, like come off calm. Hey, how you doing? I just talked to her, tell her I like lomo saltado, which is a steak and fries.
That is so good.
It's good, huh?
It is so good. There's a Peruvian restaurant by your house. It's so good.
But it was a connection I made with the Peruvian girl. And then I let it go. I didn't like flirt with her. I left. Then a week later, I went to a different chiropractor and she was there again. And so I took it a little further. I saw a wedding ring on her and I was like, oh, that's a big ring. And she's like, not big enough. And I was like, really? And then we just got talking, shooting the breeze. And then at the very end, after I got my back cracked, I walked out and I was like, well, if you see any cute girls, Latin girls, let me know. And she's like, well, actually, I was going to ask you if you want to go out with my cute friend. So then we've been texting all week this week.
She came to you with that?
Yeah. I was like, well, if you see, I was like, if you see any cute Latin girls, let me know. And she's like, well, actually, I didn't know if I should ask you, but I have a really cute friend. So we've been texting all week, the new girl that she gave me her number.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'm taking her to a private dance lesson. We're going to go bachata dancing and then see where we
go. Oh, cool.
So the lesson is for her, right? Because you're a good dancer.
Well, I'm not really good, but I know how to do the steps and stuff.
Yeah.
I told her.
Yeah, that's good.
This is what I always do when I dance. Like, I'll go country dancing, I'll ask a girl to dance, and I'll say, do you know how to dance? And so they think I don't know how to dance. Then I get out there and I start spinning them around. I'm just waiting for them to say, you know how to dance? It's always better. So I told this girl that I don't know how to shake and move my hips. And she's like, oh, I'll teach you.
Well, I saw you texted us a picture of this girl you're going out with. She looks pretty. Oh, Andy, you just reminded me of something. There was a funny scene at the beginning of The Hustle where Rebel Wilson is catfishing some guy. Oh, yeah. That guy from Veep. What is his name?
Jonah Ryan. Well, that's his name. That's his character's name in Veep.
He goes to a bar. He's waiting for. He's checking out her picture on his phone. She's like this really like beautiful woman with like these giant breasts,
skinny.
And then Rebel Wilson shows up and he's like nervously trying to find his way out.
Oh my gosh,
that's pretty funny.
That is really funny. One girl I went on a date with, it was the first time I met her off an online. We went to a baseball game. There was this guy doing this kiss cam in front of the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
And he caught us. So we like kissed. But then he's like, oh, I didn't get that right. So we had to kiss again. I knew him. So he was joking around.
Okay.
So the first time I met this girl, I'm kissing her. But then later that night, I'm talking to her at the restaurant and she's like, I'm allergic to dogs. I can't be with him. And I was like, so I never called her back. Because literally,
That was a deal breaker.
What did you... Okay, so the situation jumped from her saying that and you never calling her back. Like, how did the... Like, just for that, you had no interest?
Well, the end of the night was sped up a little bit because we made out. Because okay. We'd already kissed at the first second of the day.
Okay.
But then I never called her back. I just couldn't do it. Like, what am I going to do? Get rid of my dog so I can have sex?
People have done more for sex.
Well, I'm just curious if you and her had a conversation about that, where he said, like, you know, I understand you can't be around dogs, but like, you know, my dog is my Pokemon.
I get what you're getting at.
His really, power is sleeping.
It was really that I just didn't want to date her. I didn't want to get married at the time. I didn't want to date serious. That's probably what it was. Just an easy way to be like, oh, yeah. Good, I don't have to date her.
This whole thing about her being allergic to dogs was just your escape route.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Ben, for being my therapist. Have you ever... Never mind.
You should say it now, Andy.
Have you ever... Did you guys ever see the show called... it's an old 80s movie, Neverending Stories?
Yeah.
I thought Atrell was a female and I had a crush on her. Atrell was the Indian.
And is that a boy?
No, the girl at the end was super attractive. She had the necklace around her forehead.
Yeah, but she was attractive, but the whole movie has Atrell going riding his horse through the whole movie, and I had a crush on her because I thought he was a girl.
So how did you feel when you figured it out?
I feel ashamed.
Because that's when you found out you were gay?
No, I don't know.
That's funny. I need to pull up a picture of who that is. Atreyu. Okay. Atreyu. I can see that.
He's
and he's showing
some
cleavage.
He's got long hair. Yeah, lots of cleavage.
Okay. Yeah, he's showing a lot of skin.
Down
so I can see
button.
How.
Yeah. He's not attractive at all.
Yeah, but if you thought that was a girl, you'd be like, whoa, scandalous. He's
I'm five. Like right there, he looks like a girl.
Okay. So you were attracted to him.
Yeah. Well, I thought I had a crush on him. I just thought, what do you call it when you're going to tell something that happens in the movie?
Spoiler.
I have a spoiler.
Okay.
It just bugged me. Can I tell a spoiler?
Yeah.
It bugged me how his dad was like inside Pikachu. I just thought that was so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, at the end, it just, the whole plot fell apart at the end. People were inside other things and mind control with the other ones. It just lost me and it got a little absurd. I'm like, okay. And then it took another turn. I thought, okay, let it finish.
You know what it reminded me of is back in the, Michael Keaton played Batman. They fill up all these balloons in Batman and he starts throwing money out. The Joker starts throwing money to
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson starts throwing money to all these people in the streets. And then they have all these balloons in a parade and then they pop the balloons or something and all these poisonous gas comes out to kill everyone. And I felt like they had just taken that right from Batman.
Oh, yeah. It was
that's
a rip-off
right.
of that theme.
Do you know that happened in Pokemon?
And I also felt the ending resolution was too easy. You're like, hey, Mewtwo, rewind time and fix everything. You're like, okay, fixed. You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, wait, Mewtwo is that powerful to rewind time and fix millions and millions of situations and time, but in a physical battle, he gets thrown around and he struggles fighting. It was so dumb.
Yeah.
How can Mewtwo be that powerful but yet so weak at the same time?
Yeah.
And those like five machines subdue him.
It just felt like they're getting towards the end of the movie. They're like, oh no, we created a big problem, but we want a happy ending. Let's wave a magic wand.
Yeah. Deus Ex Machina.
It's kind of like when I tell my nephew stories, because he always asks me to tell him stories. And when I get sick of telling the story, it doesn't matter where I am at in the story. I just say the end. And he's like, no, keep going.
That's kind of what happened. They're like, and that's the end. We're just going to wrap it up here.
Yeah, it was a really exciting ride, but now we're kind of in a pickle. We don't have a rational way to get out.
It's kind of like when you've been having a romance with a girl and all of a sudden you just like ghost her and stop texting her or calling her.
Exactly like that.
I can imagine.
For a movie about a detective solving a crime, I thought there was a notable lack of suspense. Like I wasn't really that intrigued by the crime.
Yeah, it was so stupid. He was trying to find himself.
And I also didn't feel like he was a detective either.
Knowing the ending and who the Pikachu really came from, that makes a little more sense. Because anyway, wasn't that character a detective, the boy's dad?
Oh, maybe. Okay. I'll tell you, I automatically, you know, like something bothers you, like there's a pet peeve. So you irrationally like hate something in a movie when someone shows up like, oh, I have no memory. I'm like, okay, whoever wrote this needs to be slapped. Like we're doing this again. That was an exciting premise in like 1982. But like in every movie, like, come on. Like, we can't tell stories without the hero waking up with no memory, but he has like ninja skills. I just...
Bourne Identity nailed it, huh?
They actually did it well, but
yeah.
Still.
Yeah, Bourne Identity is one where it actually worked.
Well, it's just overused. It's an okay idea, but it's just overdone.